The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. The Rams won the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford, Tony. Who could have predicted that before the season?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Hello, do you watch this show? Do you watch us?
Sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah. I run it back.
I think I have that.
Congratulations. In all seriousness, I texted you a congratulatory text message. Did I not? You had it strong. You had it big. Doesn't make up for what you did to Providence or Rick Pitino years and years ago, but you got this.
That was pre-TV. We don't have to go to that. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Kyler Murray, Carson Wentz, and two beer showers in Scottsdale. But we begin today with the Rams going down the field late to beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl last night, 23-20. Wilbon, was this the game that you expected?
Tony, I'd say about 75%. I put on some social media platform, I guess it was Instagram, my final score was going to be 34-28. It was a little bit, less high scoring than that. But what I did have, I told you on Friday that the over-under on sacks and what the Rams would need to have, and I thought the over-under was 6. They get 7 sacks? Come on, I was pretty good on that. And I told you the Bengals' offensive line would be atrocious, and Aaron Donald would dominate the game. I had him being the MVP. He was the MVP. We'll get to that later. So, yeah, I mean, it's about what I expected, Tony. And Cooper Kupp, I mean, the guy's great. By the way, when I say Cooper Kupp was great. He's always great. He's been great all season. So, yes, this was about what I expected.
Yeah, I thought that the NFL had set the bar very high with the playoffs. I thought the playoffs had all been great. In fact, the last 7 playoff games, the margin of victory was 7 points, 3-3-3, 3-3-3. So I think it's the greatest playoff run of any sport all time. And so consequently, I was fearful it would not be a great game. And there was a little bit that I didn't think was all that great. The offenses stalled, but the defenses were very good. There was a little too much punting. I had gotten spoiled by all the scoring in the previous playoffs. But when you have an ending like that, when a guy takes his team down the field and scores a touchdown because they're down 4 and they have to have a touchdown, and then the other guy is trying desperately to get in field goal position, and the last play of the game is that sort of half sack and sort of underhand
Carson
throw.
Carson Wentz move.
Yes. Yeah. It's very, very satisfying. The game ends up being very satisfying. It's pretty much all that I expected it to be. I had some problems late. You know, the referees let him play until late. And then there was a bunch of penalties that I don't know that I would have called. But at least that made up, Mike, for the yanking of the face mask when Jalen Ramsey was the victim of offensive interference. Yeah. And, Mike, I didn't want that to be the deciding score.
By the way,
I did not.
Can we now not have Jalen Ramsey being the greatest defensive player ever? He got torched a few times. And by the way, that play wasn't his fault because his face mask got yanked. But he'll be going the way of Revis Island, and all these defensive backs who were proclaimed to be the greatest thing ever since Night Train Lane. And then you just look around and it's like the traffic cops getting beat. But, Tony, the game was mostly you couldn't have, unless you're a Bengals fan, you couldn't say, oh, my God, it was a disappointment, the actual Super Bowl. But Joe Burrow, Cincinnati better find some protection for Joe Burrow or else he'll be out of the league in 2 years.
I'll just say this, Mike. It looked for a while like the key play of the game was this freakish thing that happened when the holder dropped the ball on the PAT.
Yeah.
Because if that doesn't happen, it's not a 4-point game. They're right on the number, Mike. If that doesn't happen, it's a 4-point game. But if that doesn't happen, there's no urgency for the Rams to go down the field and score a touchdown, which was the most exciting part of the game.
Good.
So I'm glad it worked out that way. I'm glad.
Tell them the Super Bowl can change perceptions of a player's career, as we well know. So what does this game do for the narratives of the two quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford and Joe Burrow?
So I think it validates the Rams for making that trade. I mean, trading number ones, mortgaging the future, I think it validates them for that. There are some people who are going to suggest that Matthew Stafford should go to the Hall of Fame.
They're already suggesting
it. Hold on a second, Sparky.
They're already suggesting it.
Hold on. Okay, well, hold on. Nobody had more interceptions than him this year. Nobody had more pick sixes than him this year. And he had two interceptions yesterday. But when the light was the brightest, Mike, and he only had one offensive weapon because Beckham was out and all he had was Kupp, he was able to find Kupp. He was able to make that thing happen down the stretch. And so in that regard, I think my position on Stafford is fair now, which is that he was the victim of the Detroit Lions for 12 years, not the other way around.
Your position is terrific. Other positions, like he's a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. So three playoff victories makes you a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. Really?
No.
I mean, do people actually listen to themselves? Three playoff victories, Hall of Fame. Jim Plunkett's 1-2. He ain't in the Hall of Fame. Huh? And I hear the same people debate Ben Roethlisberger, who's 1-2 and been to a third. So you want to debate Ben Roethlisberger, but you want to put Matthew Stafford in the Hall of Fame automatically for three playoff wins. I guess, I don't know, maybe some of these are the same people in the same shows that said
Kansas City is a dynasty. I think he's got four playoff wins, but in either case, we're not talking about him in the Hall of Fame. Let me get to Burrow, because what you said before about Burrow is important. Joe Burrow is now, or if he's not now, he's going to be a great quarterback in this league if he doesn't get killed. You have to get him an offensive line or he will get killed. And what happened to Carson Palmer will happen to him and his career will be ruined because he will be injured very early. The play of the game, when the guy, when late in the game and the Rams begin to get to him with frequency, okay, and he's knocked down and he grabs his left knee and he screams in pain. You go, whoa, can't have this. So you got Burrow and you got Chase and you look great. But if you don't get an offensive line, you're killing this kid.
Well, you know, Tony, I heard Burrow post-game talking about, he said, hey, we're a young team. We want to be back and we expect to be back here multiple times. And I thought, Burrow's a smart guy.
I don't know.
Let me just say you should Google Dan Marino.
Dan Marino.
Because I'm sure that there are people on all these shows, even on this network, who will try to convince you that Joe Shiesty is better already than Dan Marino, and he's not. Dan Marino never got back. Dan Marino never even questioned his greatness. He's got a gold jacket, and he earned it, and he didn't get back. And I hope Burrow does. But in a way, Tony, I'm sort of glad because it keeps the idolatry of Joe Burrow from just inundating the airwaves every moment of the day for the next 30 weeks until we get to training camp or whatever it is. Let's just tap the brakes a little bit. Let Mr. Burrow continue to prove it for more than, say, four playoff games.
They got draft picks and they're under the cap. Go get some offensive
linemen
within the next month.
Yeah.
Get linemen. Cooper Kupp was named MVP of the game based on the fact that he was the only weapon the Rams had in the second half. He had 8 catches for 92 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had the single most important first down run in the game. In 21 games this year, counting these playoffs, Kupp had 178 catches for 2,425 yards and 22 touchdowns. Wilbon, looking back, was Kupp the MVP of the entire season?
Maybe, Tony. I mean, the thing about receiver is it's a dependent position. And so even with Jerry Rice, I mean, Jerry Rice had two, and I use that name because, you know, he's the GOAT at that position to me. He had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks getting him the ball. He can't go get it himself unless, you know, he's running jet sweeps. Even then, somebody's got to hand it to him. So Kupp was great. But I don't know that he was the MVP. I'd have voted him ahead of Rodgers. I would have, even on the regular season performance. He wasn't even the clear-cut MVP of the game yesterday. I mean, Aaron Donald, to me, was that. If they had been co-MVPs of the game yesterday, I could have been fine with that. But Aaron Donald, to me, is the best player in the National Football League. He disrupts everyone. He wrecks your offense in an era of offensive football where the league has basically legislated defense out of the game. He comes back in and says, no, I will kill you. And he does. So Aaron Donald is that for me. But Cooper Kupp, there's nothing negative to say about him and his performances.
Yeah, I would have voted for Aaron Rodgers because his team had the best record in the league. And I would have voted for Tom Brady because at 44 years old, he led the league in passing yards and in touchdowns. I will note that Kupp is the only person to get a vote other than them. which means that Jonathan Taylor didn't get a vote and he'd had a great year, and T.J. Watt on defense didn't get a vote.
Because people just want to vote for quarterbacks like you. They're seduced by quarterback play, and that's all they care about.
Okay, so let me explain this for people who are not as smart as you. It's easy to look at quarterbacks and be mesmerized by quarterbacks. They make the most money. They are the face of the teams. Everything seems to start with them because they have their hands on the ball all the time. We think somehow when they make a completed pass, it's all them and not the guy who catches the ball. And it takes a different way of thinking. What we've seen from Kupp in the playoffs is extraordinary in this regard. He should have been doubled against Tampa Bay, and he wasn't. And he won that game. And he should have been tripled last night, and he wasn't. And he won that game. And to me, that's a I don't know that I would have voted him for MVP for the whole season,
right.
But he made a great case for himself. There's well, you mentioned Jerry Rice. Cooper Kupp is the only wide receiver to lead the league in receiving and win a Super Bowl since Jerry Rice in 1994. And I speak for you when I say this. If you're mentioned in the same sentence and accomplishment as Jerry Rice, that is your honor.
It is.
That is your honor.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
That's our standard of comparison.
Coming up, we reportedly have real issues between your boy Kyler Murray and your Cardinals.
Been all really? Season telling you about Kyler Murray. Could Dan Snyder's fellow owners really be through with him? That's a serious conversation.
I think what Aaron Donald is, more than Cooper Kupp, is a threat. You have to prepare for him on every single play.
He's a promise.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
It's mail time when the people ask the questions, and that shows, let me see what's first.
The people. Get a people
Here we
what
go.
They mail want time? To steal something from
Cloudier future with his team. Kyler Murray or Carson Wentz?
Well, Tony, I don't know if Wentz has any future. Mort has reported that Wentz will probably be traded or released by March 18. And Mort also says the Cardinals have their own concerns about Murray, and Murray has his concerns about them. He scrubbed his social media. So you got these two guys in flux. Tony, Wentz seems to be just done. But I told you about Kyler Murray, even when they were 7-0 or 8-0, something just ain't right. And he, you know what, as terrific as he can be, he's a highlight machine, but he seems to play without joy, and the mistakes he makes are enormous game-losing mistakes, and that team doesn't seem to have the proper leadership this past season. So I think both of them, but Wentz immediately is of greater jeopardy. Immediately. Like in the next 2 weeks.
So I have to concede on this, that when I was told today that Carson Wentz could be released, I was stunned because Frank Reich went after him hard, gave up a first and a third, and the notion, Mike, was that Frank Reich would whisper in his ear like he did in Philadelphia and everything would be fine, and it wasn't fine. And when you hear that a team is dissatisfied with a player, the future isn't cloudy.
It's over.
That player is
stormy.
Gone.
Get
when
out.
When it tilts that way, right. That player is gone.
That's right.
I thought with Kyler Murray that it was the opposite. I thought the tilt was that Kyler Murray did not particularly like what was going on with Arizona.
He doesn't.
And now there is a notion that he has an attitude problem, yeah. Which is what they say about people when they want to get rid of you. They say you have an attitude problem.
This was said before.
Looking from 30,000 feet, Mike, I still think that Kyler Murray is more valuable to the Arizona Cardinals than Carson Wentz is
agreed.
To the Indianapolis Colts.
I totally agree with you, but this examining of Kyler Murray and wondering if he had the goods, that was going on before this week.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Do you think either Dan Snyder or Stephen Ross could really lose their teams?
Yeah, both. I think both could. And given how much their teams would sell for in Washington and Miami, we're talking about north of maybe $4 billion. The other owners who have to say we're okay getting rid of them would look at that amount of money and just go, wow. We saw that in the NBA in Los Angeles with the Clippers. So, Tony, I mean, the offenses, if true, if proven, if agreed upon, are egregious. I mean, whether it's the workplace environment with the Washington football team, whatever they're known as this moment, and $100,000 offering to given the gambling importance to the NFL now, that is unacceptable too. You and I said this the first day we heard it. We said, if this is true, you're in a got-to-go situation. I could see both of them losing their franchises, Tony. I really actually do see that.
I think Dan Snyder is in more jeopardy than Stephen Ross. Stephen Ross's problem is the accusation that he was bribing Brian Flores. That is a very small part of what is a much larger and more important class action racism suit. It's also very hard to prove unless there's corroboration. And, Mike, it's going to be handled by the league, which means it could be going through a crack somewhere. The league may not really want to deal with that. Dan Snyder's not being handled by the league, being handled by Congress. This is a really different ballgame, okay? They're taking testimony from disgruntled employees. They got to go through hundreds of thousands of emails that already sacked John Gruden. They're going to look at a Beth Wilkinson report that is not public yet. And this is in Washington, D.C., not in Miami. Congress lives here. Congress is familiar with this team. And Congress understands that the owner is not popular in this particular city. So I can see the league saying, the league is the owners. The owner's saying, we're going to have to change this out.
Yeah.
We're going to have to change this one out. I don't think either is in enormous jeopardy. I think Snyder is in more jeopardy.
Tom, but it's just the class action suit is not the biggest problem for Stephen Ross. It's the $100,000 payola, if true. That's the one that
again,
is a you got
true.
To go, if true.
Yes.
And by the
if
way,
true.
Pro
we
Football
both agree
Talk
on that. Hard
over the
to
weekend
prove, if true.
This is going on with the owners and Snyder and NFL Network reported on Stephen Ross. We've all been speculating on this, both of these, particularly here in Washington, long before some of these other entities got around to it.
Enough email. Let's take one last break still to come. How should the Sixers feel about James Harden being out through the All-Star break?
And will the Nets lose their 12th straight tonight? You ain't winning a championship if you've lost 12 in a regular season in a row. That ain't happening, dude.
Yeah, but Durant didn't play in any of them, right?
You know, is he going to play those? They've been hurt.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, Happy time, people. Happy 62nd birthday, Jim Kelly, the Hall of Fame quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are one of the teams that have never won the Super Bowl, but unlike the Browns and Lions, it's not for lack of trying. In the early 90s, Buffalo got to the Super Bowl four straight years, an unprecedented run. The Montanas and the Bradshaws won four Super Bowls, but not consecutively. Kelly is the only quarterback to start four straight Super Bowls. Only Tom Brady even got to three in a row. It's hard to know how to quantify this. Kelly lost all four, but four in a row sets him apart from everybody.
Tony, it does. It's not even hard for me to quantify it. The further away we get from those years when they lost those games, the greater that team is in my mind. And I think the minds of people who were around it, not just one of those teams, but all four of them. There's so many great players, Hall of Famers. That team's great. I don't care if they didn't win one. It was more than just winning four playoff games.
Happy anniversary, Clyde Drexler, on this day 27 years ago. Clyde the Glide got his wish and was traded from Portland to the defending champion Rockets, reuniting Drexler with his University of Houston college teammate Hakeem Olajuwon. Drexler lifted the Rockets to repeat as NBA champs. That's the only ring of his career. Drexler had played 11 and a half years in Portland, where he was the all-time franchise leader in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. But he agitated to be traded, feeling the team was going in the wrong direction. We think of superstars demanding to be traded as a recent NBA phenomenon. But this happened in 1995, when James Harden was just 5 years old.
I know Clyde Drexler reasonably well. And Clyde Drexler was not a guy making demands. He wasn't sulking. He didn't tank. He didn't look out of shape and disinterested when he was playing. He'd like to go home to Houston to finish his career, which he did. So I'm not going to equate him with what James Harden has done, forcing his way out of two situations at $47 million in 14 months. I'm not. Clyde Drexler, great player. By the way, Tony, golfer and tennis player. Clyde Drexler is one of those guys. He's great. Don't challenge him in anything. He'll beat you.
Happy trails to a whole lot of beers on number 16 at TPC Scottsdale. On Saturday was Sam Ryder getting a hole-in-one on the frenzied 16th hole. 20,000 well-lit fans packed into the grandstand and went wild, throwing cans and cups of beer all over the place. It looked like a water balloon fight. The Waste Management Open specializes in bringing a football atmosphere to a golf tournament. Yesterday, they did it again when Carlos Ortiz got an ace, and later, Harry Higgs wanted to get a reaction, so he flashed the crowd. He picked up his shirt after a two-putt par. His playing partner, Joel Damon, took off his shirt in solidarity. Wilmot, I don't think you'll see this at Augusta. I don't.
Tony, let's just say, you know, for conversational sake, that somebody might make it possible for us to do PTI during that tournament on Thursday and Friday from 16. Would you be interested in something like that, or would you be worried about getting hit by some beer?
Yeah, I don't want an aluminum can hitting me in the side of the head, but I'd be interested in the whole deal. Let us go to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
The Sixers say James Harden is out through the All-Star break with his hammy issue. Are you surprised?
Not really, Tony. I mean, they got to get him fully engaged, make sure he's fully healthy, so that he and Embiid can do what they think they can do, which is win a championship now. The Chiefs and the Bills are apparently the best odds of being in next year's Super Bowl, Vegas. Makes sense, Uncle Brent?
No, it doesn't, because it's much harder to get there from the AFC. You know, you got those two teams, now you got Cincinnati, you got tennis. No, it does not. It's easier in the NFC, easier for the Rams. Eric Weddle announced his retirement after tearing a pec. How will you remember his career?
I'm going to remember him by another body part, his ring finger. The guy comes out, he gets injured. Okay, it had to be difficult. Gave it up for his team, he gets a ring. Come on. Gonzaga, as expected, is the newest number one team in the AP college basketball poll. You think that's deserved, don't you?
Absolutely. The problem with Gonzaga is the conference is too weak down the stretch. It doesn't prepare them for the NCAAs, but they deserve this. Last one, will the Nets lose their 12th in a row at home to the Kings?
The Kings are 2-0 since the trade that landed them, among other things, Sabonis. So, yes, I'm going to go with the Kings in Brooklyn. Remember, no Kyrie at home, winning and extending that losing streak.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Tracy Callahan, Bethesda Flores.
Yeah,
shout out.
Shout out from both of us.
Roses, baby.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, in the spirit of TPC Scottsdale, your sports team.
Roses and orchids decorating my house.
Makes PTI. Me happy.